Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. It's supposed to be just terrific weather today, so get out and enjoy it. And I know one person that will be going out to enjoy the weather today, and that's my Tribune colleague, City Hall reporter Hal Dardick. Hal, thanks for joining me this morning.
Always a pleasure, Rick.
So, Hal, you've been all over the front page of the newspaper in recent days, and not necessarily for great news for residents of Chicago. And I kind of had to laugh because you had done a story that was kind of a primer on property tax bills, about property tax assessments, and it was the headlines called it a double whammy. And now when you look at the fact that the mayor's also, you know, throwing in a water and sewer tax increase, it's kind of a triple whammy.
Yeah, the taxpayers are being hit on all sides. You had the double whammy, which was the coincidence, if you will. Is that a word, Rick?
Yeah, coincidence. How about that?
Okay. of both the property tax increase and the increase in assessments across the city. So if you lived in one of the neighborhoods where the property values are going up faster than others in a more popular neighborhood, you got hit much harder by that property tax increase. And now, as you said, they're going to have start of next year the water and or probably the city council still has to vote on it, the increase in the water and sewer bills that will cost you another $53 a month for the average, or a year for the average homeowner, and once it's all phased in after 4 years, $223. So it's all going to pay for the city's pensions. And you do say, yeah, I was sort of the bad news reporter, if you will, over the last.
But you're not the tax man. I won't pin you with that.
Okay. Well, there's some saving grace there. But at any rate, the mayor has been trying to portray this over the past week. He's been out and about talking to investors and city debt and pronouncements to the public that, hey, I'm doing the right thing. I'm fixing the city's finances. I'm trying to do it in a way that doesn't absolutely, you know, devastate the taxpayer so that the city's city residents keep living here and businesses keep coming to town. And when it's all said and done, it'll be a new era of city finances. So he's trying to portray it all as a very positive thing.
Well, and certainly when you look at the issues of credit rating and those kinds of things, and the city, particularly when you look at Chicago Public Schools and, some of the astronomical interest rates that they've had to do with bonds, has there been any reaction from any of the bond watchers?
Yeah, there has. I talked to a couple of them after he spoke at the Chicago Investors Conference last week, and they said there's a slight uptick in the price of city bonds, which is a good thing. It means that the city pays slightly lower interest rates on the bonds that are out there in the market and trading. The proof, they said, though, will be over the long haul to see if the mayor gets this new tax enacted and if people are satisfied that the speed with which he's paying down the billions of dollars in debt to the pension funds is enough to right the city's financial ship. You do, in a sense, it is good news, because what would happen if the mayor did not do these things is that over the next decade, all four of the city's pension funds would go bust. And when one goes bust, that means the city has to start paying the pension costs out of pocket every year. It would be a devastating cost. You'd see Chicago become in dire. You'd see Chicago in dire straits. I hate to say it would become Detroit. I don't think Chicago could ever become Detroit.
No, and I think Moody's basically say that, you know, people that try to compare Chicago's financial situation with Detroit's are that's incorrect.
It is, for a couple of reasons. One, because our economy is so diverse, Moody said, and also because the city has more power to levy taxes and control its own fate. But all that said, in a sense, it is good news for the city. On the other hand, the taxpayers, after years of not getting the honest message from politicians and not paying the kind of taxes that were needed to cover the city's costs, are suddenly getting hit. So it's sort of a shock to the system, and the effort at City Hall is not to shock the system too much all at once.
Well, but, you know, Hal, all along I've kind of wondered and wondered aloud about this, is that because property tax increases were such a third rail, particularly during Mayor Daley's administration, but even through, you know, the first term of Rahm Emanuel, that if there just hadn't been some kind of a gradual increase in property taxes all along, that we might be in the same place right now, or perhaps in better off, but as far as the increase, rather than having such a significant hit.
Yeah, absolutely. And even Pat O'Connor, who is Mayor Emanuel's floor leader and has been in the city council for decades and actually took part in not increasing those taxes, he said, well, we should have done that perhaps at the rate of inflation each year, every year, and then we wouldn't have owed as much as we do today, because the longer and the bigger the debt, it sort of grows exponentially, because then you're basically paying interest on that debt later. And we would be in much better shape, and we wouldn't have shocked the system. People would have been able to absorb this all along and maybe not revolted if you did it at a reasonable pace. And now you have to do this big, huge tax increase, as far as we can tell, the biggest ever in the city's history, as far back as we can find. And people are probably politically going to be angry for some time now.
Well, and, you know, as you said, with the double whammy of the assessment increases coupled with the property tax increases, and, you know, when you start looking at people seeing their taxes, their property taxes going up by a third, that's pretty hard to budget.
It is. In some areas, if you were fortunate enough in one sense to buy in a nicer neighborhood, maybe somewhere along the north side or in the new west loop or in the south loop, your values of your property went up. But because of that, they went up at a much faster pace, in some cases more than 30%, while in more economically struggling neighborhoods went up by 5 to 10%. That means that instead of getting that average 13% tax bill increase, you got a 30-40% increase, and in some cases we found over 100% increase.
Where was that?
There were a number of homes where that occurred in the Gold Coast, in
River North,
Lincoln Park, River North, Near North. I think that we found some instances of that also in the West Loop, Wicker Park, along Milwaukee Avenue, and what they call the hipster highways.
Yes, right. So a doubling of property taxes.
Yeah, and these were, you know, these weren't, that wasn't normal, but there were, you know, scores of homes where that did occur.
And so this is about, ultimately, this is about paying the costs of having the can kicked down the road on pensions.
It is. It is. The longer you wait and the bigger the debt gets, the way to, I think, look at it, if you're not familiar with how these things work, is to say, okay, you're not paying the charges on your credit card. You're paying that minimal fee, which isn't nearly enough to keep up with the debt, and it grows and it grows, and the interest on it grows, and after a while, because in the way the interest grows is because if the pension funds don't have the money, they're not earning what they would earn on the money, so instead you taxpayer are paying the entire cost. So it grows and it grows like that credit card debt, and in the end it becomes unbearable.
Well, and you and I talked about this story too, that we saw, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, about for pension funds that they're not going to make those kind of big gains that you saw, you know, back 10, 15 years ago, just on the rate of return of investment.
Right. When the pension funds determine the amount of money that they're going to have in the future, they assume, you know, typically 7.5% earnings every year on the money that they do have. In this case, in the last couple of years, it's been flat. So that means that they don't have the money they expected to have. And if that continues, oh boy, there could be a need for another tax increase.
And again, we've got a property tax increase for the city. There's also the CPS property tax increase as well.
Right. The city's increases will total about $543 million over the four-year period. CPS next year, I can say with about 99.5% certainty, will enact another $250 million increase. And so you're getting hit with a lot of tax increases. And there's also to pay down pension costs. All of this money, including the new water and sewer fee that folks will pay, including a higher 911 fees on their telephone bills, every penny of that is going to pay for this pension debt, this credit card debt that built up over all those years.
We're speaking to my Tribune colleague and good friend, Hal 99.5% Certain Dardick. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. (312) 981-7200 is our phone number. I'm Rick Pearson. This is your Sunday Spin. We're speaking to my good friend, actual cubicle seatmate, Hal Dardick, City Hall reporter for the Chicago Tribune. And Hal, you know, as we talk about the property tax increases here coming, I mean, they're going to keep going up too, because these are, I mean, this is a phased in increase, correct?
Yeah, it is. The property tax increase that folks experienced with the recently due bills was the first of 4 years of increases. And basically, they got hit the biggest this year. They got hit with, about half of what they're going to experience over a four-year period. But so they're still going to feel some substantial hits in coming years, particularly when the Chicago Public Schools increases that $250 million levy next year. And so it's the beginning of the pain. And here's the big question mark, Rick, is, okay, they're ramping up the pension funds over the next 4 or 5 years. And then in year five, in all these instances, they're going to, or it's year six in some, they're going to go to actuarial funding, which means they have to pay what it takes to write the system over the next 35 years after they've ramped it up. So that payment, the city hopes, if the investments do well enough, if the pension funds remain stable, if they're relatively stable at the rate that they expect, it'll be a slight increase in that year five or six. But if the pension funds aren't doing that well,
or if we're not making gains in the liability.
Correct, exactly. And if we're not, then it's going to go up much more in that period. It'll be perhaps a new mayor, perhaps the same mayor, depending on whether he runs for election and wins. But in that next city council term, there's going to be potentially another day of reckoning.
Yeah, well, but...
And again, I'm not the tax man.
Right.
The messenger. So.
Well, yeah. You know, how much of this is due to, and to the different way that, you know, the residences are and businesses are assessed here in the county?
There's an argument to be made. Is maybe your listeners know, maybe they don't know, that the property tax assessments of businesses and residences are different in Cook County. In the rest of the state, they're all the same. They're all assessed at about a third of the property value. In Cook County, the residences are assessed at about 10%, and the businesses at about 25% of their assessed value. That means that the businesses pick up more of that tax bill. I've heard people say, well, that's gone on for many, many decades, but that it may have, in a sense, made it tougher on businesses in Chicago, and even though we do have a huge industrial business tax base, diminished what it could have been. The tax base could have been bigger if they didn't hit businesses harder on property taxes in Cook County. So the assessment system is a crucial part of that. The whole idea, if I may sort of veer off a little bit here, of paying your primary government costs, particularly schools, with property taxes is a way of life in Illinois, but we're one of only two states remaining in the United States that primarily does that. And other places have gone to more progressive taxes, income taxes, broader sales tax, other ways to pay those costs, which hit people that can afford it a little more. Property taxes don't necessarily do that. The value of your home doesn't necessarily have a relationship to your income. So you may be retired and on a fixed income, but it paid off your home years earlier. You may have inherited your home. You may have purchased your home when you had a better job and you're barely eking it out now. And then you get hit with these property taxes that maybe you can't afford to pay. So from the assessments to the questionable use of a property tax to pay most of local government costs, it's fraught with problems.
Well, and we've talked several times about the concept of property taxes paying for schools and how you're basically looking at a 18th century measure of wealth.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And people in other states have moved away from that. We still have that.
Have we heard anything about, you know, obviously it's too late to appeal the assessments.
It is. It's too late to appeal this year's assessments. There's a window after your house is reassessed, and they just did what they call a triennial assessment in Cook County last year. So when they did that, that's what your tax bills are based on this year. And you had a period last year when you could appeal. But if you got a big tax bill and you didn't think to appeal last year, you still can appeal for next year. So there is another window, but it won't affect this year's tax bills, but it could affect next year's. If you think they decided your property is worth more than it is, and the amount on your tax bill should be about 10% of the market value of your property, you can go to the assessor's office and file an appeal. You got to figure out if other homes in your neighborhood that seem about equal are getting assessed at the same rate and say, okay, well, look, if you find one that's assessed at a lower rate, your comparable, as they call it, is at a different rate, and you should be at a different rate too.
Hal, we've got a call from Jerome. Jerome, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. You may have covered this topic earlier because I've just tuned in for the last few minutes. But in terms of gaining city revenue, the city gaining revenue, what's ever happened to the much vaunted city casino? And also, why wouldn't the city have video gaming like every suburb that you drive through has, which would seem to be a great potential source for tax revenue?
All right, Jerome, thank you. Hal, you've been over at City Hall. We've talked about the casino for decades.
Yeah, of course, this mayor wants one. The last mayor wanted one, right?
After he didn't want one, then he wanted one.
Exactly, that's true. And they have not been able to get it with the gridlock in Springfield. They're still tussling over their budget after more than a year. It doesn't seem likely at this point. A casino could add quite a bit of additional revenue to city coffers. That might be helpful. Video gaming is something that this mayor has been opposed to in the city. I think part of the reasoning goes there. If they ever do get a casino, They don't want to diminish its worth by having video gaming in every bar. There's also a socioeconomic, sociological argument that, you know, if it's in neighborhoods, people in some cases will go out and harm themselves by doing that too much too easily, and it's not good for the socioeconomic well-being of a lot of people. But yeah, there are other solutions out there. Another is broadening the sales tax, like most states do. City would get a lot more revenue that way.
Well, and of course, one of the things too about the city casino is the issue of control. And when the city has come forward to Springfield with proposals about a city-owned casino that would the city basically hiring a management company to run, there have been concerns. There were concerns from the previous governor, Pat Quinn, concerns about just whether there would be a sufficient oversight to prevent any kind of, ethical lapses?
Absolutely. And, you know, Chicago's history has not been one of, in total honesty, at City Hall about how things are done. And people have been convicted for taking bribes and so forth. And so they're like, we really going to give that to the control of City Hall? This mayor has wanted it under city control because they do get more revenue that way. So there's that debate that lurks in the background, too, and the other casinos in other areas of the state that probably don't really want Chicago to get a casino either.
Hal, one last thing here in the couple of seconds we have left with you is, you know, when Mayor Emanuel was campaigning in first term, and one of his promises was that he wasn't going to nickel and dime the taxpayers of Chicago. But, I mean, we've seen a lot of various fee and tax increases ultimately leading up to this big property tax increase.
Indeed, we have. I did a story, I think, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now, where we looked at all the new taxes, fines, and fees, the biggest being the doubling of the water and sewer bills in the city of Chicago to pay for new infrastructure in the city, coupled with any number, you know, increases in vehicle stickers and other things that were the equivalent of like a $500 million tax increase, with the caveat that you can't write those off if you do on your federal tax return. So there has been a tremendous amount of nickeling and diming in those cases, either to go for new infrastructure or to close the city's annual budget shortfall. And again, the mayor was out bragging about how it's the smallest in a decade because of all these things that he's done and some costs that he's cut, to be fair, also.
That's Hal Dardick. He's City Hall reporter, Chicago Tribune, my colleague and seatmate up on the fourth floor at Tribune Tower. Hal, thanks so much for informing us on this whole issue. And again, we're not blaming you. You're not the tax man.
Oh, okay. Thanks for that, Rick. And it was good being here.
We'll be back with more right after this.